fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand, so let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
Radio. There we go. Welcome to Common Sense Radio. We are on the air. It is Thursday night. It's 8 p.m. and you're right where you should be in front of your radio. You know what? It's a miracle that we are here every week. It's just amazing that we haven't been arrested by the FCC or whatever, but we are here for you because you need to sift through the propaganda and the fake news and all the other nonsense that's out there. And you wonder how we make it every week. And the challenges we face here in this studio sometimes are beyond the imagination, but we meet every challenge regardless. Those electrons have been trained. Those electrons are ready, although sometimes they are rebellious. And this week, we had a vacancy. An electron went missing. But our award-winning engineer did not hesitate. Despite the demands of the more unruly electrons, he immediately appointed a replacement so that you have a full boat of electrons so that you will get this entire show. None of it will be missed. He replaced them forthwith, as is his right. And he did it with swiftness and conviction. And that is because he is the commandante of the electrons, our award-winning engineer, co-host, executive producer, all-around nice guy, Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate that. Yeah, I pointed them. I did it.
You got it.
I did it.
Yep. They were like, no, you can't. No, we got to wait till the next engineer. No, yep. We're not waiting till the next engineer because there will be no more engineers. Ooh, that set a bunch of people up, didn't it?
Didn't it, though?
Oh, no, what do you mean? So, and once again, you can tell that we are completely without adult supervision in the studio because our director of security quality assurance and security for that matter is still on assignment. It's football season. Got to get those boys to the football games. So unfortunately, she's not made it tonight. So our director of quality assurance, executive producer, head of the research department, Gold Star wife, United States Coast Guard, co-host, Teresa Taylor, out on assignment. So That's too bad for you, the listeners. You just got me and Mark. Hey, but it's and I got good news. We'll be talking about it more. We have a new sponsor coming on board tonight, Mission First Mortgage, and that is the place to go. People are buying homes, and you can't wait. You can't mess around, you know, waiting to find out if you're going to approve or you get your financing. It has to be quick. It has to be decisive. And what better than having a former Marine, rather never former Marine, a Marine on the job. That's Mission First Mortgage. We'll be talking more about them here as we get into the program.
Excellent.
Yeah, so we're excited to welcome them aboard. And look, there's lots to talk about. Still the same as last week. Trump is everywhere and he's getting it done. And then the sad news that Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed. So we barely get to mourn her and we go into the huge Supreme Court appointment fight. The Breonna Taylor indictments have come out, which have resulted in, guess what? More riots. They're trying to burn down Louisville. Mask madness continues. And, of course, the Dems continue to tell us they won't accept the election. Football is back.
Yay.
So we're actually going to get some SEC football this weekend. Yahoo. Mm-hmm. And then there's something else we'll talk about later. The return. It's a big thing. It's called the return. It's happening Saturday. Big prayer rally in Washington.
Ah.
And we'll talk some more about that. Okay, let's get it. Let's dive in. Let's take maybe the easiest one. First, Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. We were on the air Thursday, Friday afternoon. She passed away, which she was a heck of a woman. She had an incredible American story. She was the child of Ukrainian immigrants and went to Harvard Law School back in the 50s when that was really, really, really unusual. I think now they're mostly women at Harvard Law School.
Right, right.
Well, women and whatever genders the others.
Female on their birth certificate.
Yeah, whatever, you know. there's probably not many males left there. But anyway, I digress. But so she had a very storied career, actually was somebody who practiced law, actually had argued cases before the Supreme Court as an attorney before she ever got appointed, and then was appointed in, I think, 1993 by President Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. And so I'm there about 27 years.
Right.
And even though we don't agree with her, I'm probably just about most of the issues because of her politics. She was a fierce intellect, a towering intellect, and her life should be celebrated. But she passed away, and there's an opening. The Constitution says the president can appoint somebody. The Constitution says the Senate should confirm. And guess what? That's what they're going to do.
That's what he's going to do.
There's really nothing more to it than that.
Yeah.
So all the angst you hear is, well, it's all politics. Right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's just politics.
It's politics.
Posturing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, look. And they're going, oh, but you did it to us in 2016, and that was politics.
Yeah,
it was also constitutional, but it was politics.
And you're exactly right. It was politics. It was constitutional. Here's somewhat of the difference is that as Mitch McConnell stated, it was the American people who gave the Senate to the Republicans.
That's right.
You know, in an effort to stem. The Obama administration
to put some brakes on.
Put a brake on
little governor, a little reins on them.
And they did what they were supposed to do at that time. This time, the American people have given, or at this time, the Senate is
still a Republican Senate.
We simply have a Republican president at this time.
So they agree with him.
So we're moving forward as the Constitution says.
Right. So it's total politics. Back when 2016, Antonin Scalia passed away, it was February, March time frame. He appoints a guy in March, and the Senate says, nope, because we're the opposing party and we don't agree with you. We're not going to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Total politics. You can say it's raw. You can say you don't like it, but it is constitutional. And they did it. They got away with it.
Right.
Now here we are, like you just said, same party president, same Senate, and they go, yeah, we agree with you. We're going to stick that in. Now, here's the thing. Does anybody out there, I don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat, independent, does anybody think if the roles were reversed in both those situations that the Democrats would not have done exactly the Republicans
did? Exactly
the
same thing. Absolutely.
The only
thing
is,
question.
There would have been a lot less acrimony because, Republicans, we would have chafed too. We would have been, oh, they got us,
Yeah,
we would have felt like Alabama on the kick six, right?
We would have burned up the airwaves.
Yes.
Like we are apt to do. Because
let's they
face
got
it,
us.
Conservative talk radio is basically, the majority of talk radio, outside of
the
NPR.
The vast majority, outside of NPR.
We
would have burned
it
up.
We're it because...
But it's like the Alabama and the kick six. Can they do that? Can they do that? They just did.
Let's take
and they
the
won.
Rule book and take a look.
And everybody look at the rule book and go, darn it, they can do that.
They can do that.
Now, did that make Alabama fans feel any better? No, not at all. But that's the rules and you had to live with it.
All right.
So it's one of those things. And that's really, there's really no more to it. And no less to it than that. And I think they're doing the right thing because there's several reasons why it needs to go ahead. And I think actually Ted Cruz came out pretty quickly with the best one. He said, look, we're looking at a very hotly contested election. And right now with all the things going on with mail-in voting and stuff, it's very, very likely that there's going to be there are going to be lawsuits, and it's very likely that those lawsuits will get to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do with a 4-4 Supreme Court?
I've heard people say the 4-4 Supreme Court, but let's not. Even though Chief Justice Roberts was appointed by a Republican president,
right.
Chief Justice Roberts is not a conservative.
Right,
he has shown in his decisions more than once that he will side with the liberal side of the court more than he does with the conservative side of the court.
He saved Obamacare. It's several things. I can't think of more, but Obamacare is the biggest one that comes to mind.
So we don't have a 4-4.
Well, kind of. Well, because he sides. I'm counting him on.
You're counting him.
He's in the four.
Yes.
He's in the four.
He's in the four that are not
the liberal
of the other four.
Yeah, he's not on the four conservative ones. But we need a tiebreaker.
We do, absolutely.
Because what sort of a constitutional crisis is that? As it gets to the Supreme Court and it's deadlocked, then what do we do?
Then what do we do?
Then we do the Democrats' favorite thing: we write new rules in the middle of the game. No, absolutely not. And the last thing I want to say on this, real quick, this nonsense. And I'm having a hard time now believing that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, on her deathbed, said, "My most fervent wish is to be replaced by the next president." Really? Really? It's not her seat. She just had the privilege of occupying that seat. And in my mind, if she really said that, that really diminishes her. That her last dying breath was a campaign stunt?
Yeah,
I think a political maneuver.
I think I might be more interested in the next life.
Yes, I would be thinking.
I would not be worried.
I'm about to go through the door. Where am I going? I don't care who you replace me with.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on,
this doesn't matter.
I think that diminishes her, and I think that's falling flat. They're starting to get off of that one. They rode that for about 2 or 3 days, and that wasn't going anywhere. Yeah, so anyway, so I think we handled that, and we can get to other stuff as soon as we get back with your calls and texts at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And, you know, we kind of mentioned earlier, Trump is everywhere. And, you know, wherever he goes, Sleepy Joe tries to slowly follow. But, you know, if you're watching, Sleepy Joe literally every day between 9 and noon shuts down.
Yeah.
There's no more events for the rest of the day.
Close it up.
Let's close it up. He's not campaigning. And Trump is everywhere. So I don't know. I guess they're going to say Joe is campaigning or doing debate prep.
Debate prep.
He's doing the debate prep. Oh, but that reminds me. You know what that means, though? The debate is next Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
So we are well into the window for him to contract COVID so that he can't do the debate. So those of you who have placed bets in Vegas, check what day. I'll be interested to know if any of you placed bets in Vegas on when he will contract COVID. Anyway, you know, Trump's everywhere. Last week, his approval was 52% with Rasmus, and this week it's 53%.
Mm-hmm.
Higher than, you know, than way higher than Obama was at the same point. So that's very interesting. And a little tidbit on GDP. Atlanta Fed came out and said in July, the GDP was only 4% less than February. So that's pretty interesting when you go, wait a minute. So we only had a 4% contraction, all that shut down. And it was only a 4% contraction, because you remember they were throwing numbers out like 33% in May and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So, although they said that was an annualized number. But anyway, that was interesting. So things are coming back. Trump's doing rallies everywhere: Wisconsin, North Carolina, Florida, Ohio. He's in Jacksonville tonight. I wanted to mention the Ohio one. Do you remember about, 2 weeks ago? There was two Ohio high school football players suspended. Because when they came out on the field, they burst through the, the cheerleaders make the big poster or whatever, and they come running through it. Well, two of them, it was on 9/11, they were honoring first responders. And two of them, one of them's father was a firefighter, and the other one was a police officer. They were carrying American flags, and the one had the blue stripe for
police,
and the other one had the red stripe for firefighters.
Right.
They were suspended.
Really?
They were suspended. Now, I think the suspension has since been revoked, but they were suspended.
That's ridiculous.
On 9/11 for honoring first responders, right? I mean, it was like, what? So, how did Trump handle that? He had them at the rally in Ohio, and they led the Pledge of Allegiance. You just gotta love it.
Well, the one that goes, I pledge allegiance to the United States of America, and you know the rest.
For real?
For real.
For real. He does it. Those are really getting bad. Those are getting bad.
Man.
Okay. We have Wilson from Mobile. What do you got for us?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to touch base in and kind of talk about the RBG and the comments you guys made about her not really, you not really believe her saying that on her deathbed or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I just kind of wanted to add that, you know, I think with people that have been on the Supreme Court, what we call, I would call a heavyweight like Marshall or other people like that, a lot of people are watching their imminent demise, okay? So even a Republican politician, you know, remarked with glee that, you know, they're going to replace Ginsburg with somebody, and he died before she did. So I think it's entirely plausible that she realized the weight of her absence on the court and may have said, you know, that's my dying wish, or I hope this would happen. I wouldn't totally discount it because she's considered a jurist sort of heavyweight.
Well, and I don't disagree she's a jurist heavyweight, but to me it sort of diminishes her that she's worried about the politics on her way out. She's done her duty. And see, and believe me, there's going to be some recriminations among the Democrats because do you know why we're in this position?
As far as like being
why they can jam this through before the election?
Well, they'll talk about it. I followed it, but yeah, I'd like to get your take on it.
Well, the guy they're going to go and send a hit squad after is Senator Harry Reid, the former mm-hmm. leader of the Senate for the Democrats from Nevada, because in 2013, the Republicans were giving them a hard time and filibustering a lot of their more radical leftist appointments. And in 2013, Harry Reid had enough of it and said, all right, I'm going to change the rules because they used to have it what's called the judicial filibuster. And he eliminated that in 2013. And McConnell warned him, don't do it. You're going to regret it. And so then you could get a floor vote. So you got to get cloture, 60 votes. But he removed the judicial cloture vote. So all you got to do is go to the floor and get a straight up 51. And Harry Reid did that in 2013. Mm-hmm. If he had not changed that, the Republicans would not be able to fill this seat right now.
Right.
The Democrats could stop them, but Harry Reid changed that rule. McConnell didn't change it back, and now he's using it against him. So they're going to get against him, and there will be recriminations against poor old Ruth Bader Ginsburg, because back in 13 and 14, they asked her if she would consider retiring so Obama could replace her. Because, you know, she was already 80-something by then,
right.
And she declined. So that was her choice. I don't know. And she may have said it. And yes, she, but to me, that's also a little bit too much of your own self-importance. I mean, everybody else can say it, but when you say it, oh, you can't replace me like that. I don't know. To me, it just diminishes her. That's why I'm not saying she didn't say it. I question whether she said it, because if in my mind, if she has the character that I think she has and that a lot of people ascribe to her, I wouldn't imagine her saying that. But maybe she did. I don't know.
I that's the only thing I kind of disagree with. There are people that, you know, that's on their deathbed say all sorts of things. I hope my family gets back together. I want, you know, people can leave this world and say anything on the way out.
so we don't know. But whatever. But the point is, now it doesn't matter because the world moves on, and she's going to get a nice funeral, a nice send off. She's going to be the first lady, first woman to lie in state.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So she's still setting records or breaking glass ceiling and posthumously.
Right.
But then it's over and it moves on to the next thing. They're going to replace her, and it's probably going to happen within weeks.
I don't think it diminishes her, because when you accomplish so much in your life, I think one thing that you do wrong, I've never subscribed to the notion that one little thing you do or say diminishes you when you've contributed.
Well, that's a
so
fair
much.
Point. You don't want to be you don't want to be held to one thing you said, you know, that somebody found a recording of you on a bus with a bunch of guys and you said something about women that was pretty untoward. You wouldn't want the whole world to judge you on that one misstatement.
You don't want to be remembered by the worst thing action you, words that you've ever said. You don't want to be remembered by that alone.
Yeah. So, yeah. Because I know for my friends, they would have a really hard time picking which thing that would be.
It's correct. And can we talk for a minute about Donald Trump?
Real quick, because we're running out of time.
Go ahead.
Oh, you're running out of time? Well, I'll call it another time. I don't want to, it'll take too long. But yeah, that's all. I just wanted to chime in on that.
Well, we appreciate you listening, and call back or text us. We will continue, but we're coming up on the break.
All right, thanks.
All right, Wilson, thank you for listening and for calling in. It is what it is. That's where it's going.
Right.
That is what it is.
Yep.
So we hit all that stuff. Look, next, what we got to, I don't want to get into the Breonna Taylor stuff because that's a big topic. And we'll get into that after we do the column and everything. I guess we already talked about the debates. Let me throw out there the Senate. Rand Paul completed the Senate report on the initial investigation into the Biden dealings in Ukraine and China. And apparently there's a lot of damning things in there, and he has referred it to the Department of Justice for a criminal probe.
Right.
So stand by. They're not just walking away with that. There's more to come.
Just one thing of doing business on Air Force Two. Illegal.
Illegal. Doing business on. And another little snippet went through the news today. None of you probably saw it, but the Durham probe has expanded to include Clinton Foundation corruption. Woo, boy.
Oh, boy.
So, buckle up, buckos. There's more fun to come. But we'll be right back with your calls and texts at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. At the bottom of the hour, we bring aboard a new sponsor. After many, many years, we have a new sponsor for the Reagan quote, and that is Mission First Mortgage. That's right, Mission First Mortgage is a locally owned, veteran-owned mortgage company. They are there to serve you. And you have Brian Dewberry, a Marine, who is directing the chaos there to make sure that everything falls into place so that you can get your financing, so that you can get what you need. When you're got buying for a home, you need to know if you're approved. You need to know if you find the right home, you can get that financing done quickly. And you need a Marine on the job. That's why you need to go to Mission First Mortgage. Give them a call at 251-289-1141. That's 251-289-1141. And Mission First Mortgage brings you wit and wisdom from our 40th president, Ronald Wilson Reagan.
I believe that faith and religion play a critical role in the political life of our nation and always have. And that the church, and by that I mean all churches, all denominations, has had a strong influence on the state, and this has worked to our benefit as a nation. Those who created our country, the founding fathers and mothers, understood that there is a divine order which transcends the human order. They saw the state, in fact, as a form of moral order, and felt that the bedrock of moral order is religion. The Mayflower Compact began with the words, "In the name of God, amen." The Declaration of Independence appeals to nature's God and the Creator and the Supreme Judge of the world. Congress was given a chaplain, and the oaths of office are oaths before God. James Madison in the Federalist Papers admitted that in the creation of our republic, he perceived the hand of the Almighty. John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, warned that we must never forget the God from whom our blessings flow. George Washington referred to religion's profound and unsurpassed place in the heart of our nation quite directly in his farewell address in 1796. 7 years earlier, France had erected a government that was intended to be purely secular. This new government would be grounded on reason rather than the law of God. By 1796, the French Revolution had known the reign of terror. And Washington voiced reservations about the idea that there could be a wise policy without a firm moral and religious foundation. He said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man call himself a patriot who would labor to subvert these finest props of the duties of men and citizens. The mere politician and the pious man ought to respect and to cherish religion and morality. And he added, let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion.
And there you have it. That is Ronald Reagan, President Ronald Reagan, on the 23rd of August, 1984, remarks at the Ecumenical Prayer Breakfast in Dallas, Texas. And he very clearly delineated how our faith, our total reliance on the foundation of God, that God gave us our rights, God gives us our blessings, mm-hmm. and that's what America is founded on. A supreme judge is there, and that we operate within his framework, and we ask him for his blessings. And I picked that this week because the column is that you can get at BamaNewsNow.com, mm-hmm. vote, but pray, pray, pray. And I picked that, and the column essentially is, and it kind of came to me, especially with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know, oh my gosh, we got to replace her, you know, and the conservatives want to replace her with somebody conservative to push the court to the conservative end, and the liberals are screaming because they go, oh my gosh, we need a liberal on there to keep the balance. And the whole point of the thing is, throughout our history, we have prospered and excelled and succeeded because the pilgrims appealed to God, because the founders appealed for divine guidance, because Abraham Lincoln called for days of national fasting and prayer to mm-hmm. save the Union. And the whole point is they knew they needed God to save the Union.
Right.
And the point of the column is, yes, it's important that we choose wisely who our leaders is, but it's not going to be the senator that we pick. It's not going to be the new Supreme Court justice. It's not even going to be the president we pick who will save America. Only God can deliver America. And we, Amen. As a people, if we're really serious about it, yeah, we need to do the politics and vote wisely, but we need to turn back to God. And that sort of situation inspired me. And at the same time, also, if you haven't seen it, there's a lot of advertisements for The Return. For those of you that don't know, you should go to thereturn.org, thereturn.org. And there's a huge prayer rally this Saturday, all day in Washington, D.C. And it's going to be simulcast all around the world. And it's all about humbling ourselves, repenting, and asking for forgiveness and seeking salvation from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to bless this country. That's the most important thing that we can do. If we want to turn America around, if we want to make sure it remains free and prosperous, we need to turn back to God. And that's why you need to go to BamaNewsNow.com and read Vote, But Pray, Pray, Pray. Or my wife said it should have been Pray, 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 and Vote. She said, pray first. She was right, but, yeah. you know, it was already sent to the editor. What could I do? Let's go to LD the Mad Trucker.
Hey, guys. Two quick things. One, I've been around many people who are dying in their last hours and their last days, and not one of them ever spoke of work. They spoke of love of family. They spoke of the fun times they had on this earth. They did not start saying, don't let anybody take my job. They just didn't do it. People that are dying do not do that. Now, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is an empty robe. That's all she is. She diminished herself. That guy said that she's not diminished. She diminished herself the second she advocated for partial birth abortion, which she was a strong advocate for. She is an empty robe. And when she gets to heaven and God looks at her and said, why did you kill my most precious children? And they slam the door in her face, maybe she'll realize what she did wrong.
Strong words, LD, the Mad Trucker, but I can't dispute those, because anybody that supports abortion, I hope I don't get to the pearly gates when you get there. I don't want to be there when that happens. I don't even want to see that explanation. All right, let's go to Kevin holding in Mobile.
Hey, sentiments of the last caller right there. You know, it's sad, though.
when you hit the boos and jeers and everything, when our president and first lady are paying their respects to this person. She was a person. She was a person. She was somebody's.
Wait a minute, Kevin. Did they, because Trump and the first lady were supposed to go pay their respects, they were booed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You didn't see that?
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really at a funeral when you're paying respects?
Is sitting there, and these people that are supposed to be supporting Justice Ginsburg start yelling at our president and the first lady right there. How disrespectful is it for the family of her right there? Even though I 100% did not agree with her whatsoever, that's somebody's family right there. And to disrespect them, not only their family in mourning, but disrespect the office, disrespect the first lady and the president both, that's what these people are about right there. They're all about just them right there. They have no remorse for the American people. They have no remorse for themselves right there or what they're supposed to be standing for. You know, my grandfather was a Democrat. He was a staunch Democrat. But I tell you what, he voted 2 times for Ronald Wilson Reagan. And he sat there and he said, this is an honorable man. He said, I'm voting for the man right there. And that's what people can't understand right there. You can disagree with somebody. Like, you and I can sit there and talk with somebody and say, well, I disagree with you respectfully because blah, blah, blah. But when you talk with one of these radical leftists, a.k.a. they want to say I'm a Democrat right there, we're just dealing with a third grader. And it's sad right there for them to disrespect that. So shame on them.
Yes, you know, that is
shameful. I think that the president is going to make a good choice right there, and we're going to have a conservative judicial system right there. And I think we're going to have some things turned back around. But I guarantee you, as we know, November 4th, there's going to be a new sheriff in town right there. We're going to get and take our country back. We're going to take our country back and put it back on solid ground right there. So you could spend the rest of the evening just playing Ronald Wilson Reagan quotes right there, and it'd be great right there. I love the show.
That was a good one. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for listening and calling in. We appreciate it. And, man, see, that you're at a funeral. Or it's actually not a funeral. It's probably the visitation equivalent of the wake.
Lying in state.
And so somebody comes that you don't like. You're disrespecting the person lying in state.
And their family. Yeah.
And, you know, and in death. And see, this is what diminishes, to me, leftists. Now, I'm not going to say Democrats necessarily, but leftists.
Yes.
Because what you said, or I think LD said, when you're have passed, you're on your deathbed, or you've just died, it's not about the politics anymore. It's not about what happened here. Mm-hmm. It's about where you're going and that you were a good and faithful servant, you know, but where you're going, and we're going to honor your life even if we disagreed. It's just, it shows that they think more about the politics than they do about this woman in her life.
I mean, I can see, you know, looking at a son or daughter and saying, you know, take care of your mom or take care of your dad or take care of each other.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. You know, my last wish is that you all take care of each other.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. But
see, that's why we're so conflicted.
I don't get it. I mean, maybe she said it. I just don't get it.
She may have said it, but I mean that they booed the president.
That's
just unconscionable. I mean, look, a dear friend of mine passed away this summer, a couple months ago. Commander Robert Eddington, United States Navy Reserve, retired, also a former state senator from the state of Alabama. Actually, he was a state senator about the time I was born. He was 90 years old when he passed. He was the Mobile Bay Area Veteran of the Year for 2012. He was a great citizen. He was a great American. He served the community. He worked for veterans. He did lots of wonderful things. He loved Mobile. He loved Alabama. He was a great guy. And I went to his funeral. You know what? He was a Democrat, a big Democrat. And he and I agreed on very little politically. But I didn't go to his funeral to protest his funeral.
Right.
Or be...
You went to honor his memory,
you know,
honor his life, honor his service.
Now, I didn't see Doug Jones there, but he might have been there because he was that well known that if Senator Jones was in town, he would have gone. I wouldn't have heckled Senator Jones at Eddington's funeral. What?
Yeah.
How classless is that? Oh, that's just incredible. Oh, I can't believe it. All right. We got more calls and texts. 251-343-0106. Comments Radio, and we got a text in from David. No matter what you thought of her politics, Ruth Bader Ginsburg did do a lot of good for a lot of people. For example, the case that she won before the Supreme Court that made widowers eligible for death benefits from Social Security Administration helped my family out when my mom died when I was 11 months old. So, yeah. No, I'm sure we went back and looked at her entire career. There's things that we would agree with that she did. I mean, she was. Look, Antonin Scalia was a good friend of hers. They were very, very good friends. Mm-hmm. And yep. And she said at his, they played the clip of her at his funeral in 2016. And she said, people asked him how they could be friends when they were so diametrically opposed. And he said, I attack ideas, not people.
People.
And some very good people can have very bad ideas.
Right, right. Well, it's just like the quote that Reagan said about our Democrat friends. It's not that they, I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, I think he said that
it's not that they are ignorant. What they know is wrong.
Is wrong, yeah. What they think they know is wrong. Yeah. He said it better. We'll have to play that one again.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. All right, we really not going to have enough time to get through this, but I got to bring it up. Okay, Louisville is on fire. The Breonna Taylor indictments came down yesterday, and so Louisville had braced for it. And, of course, as soon as the indictments come down, violence in the streets. Immediately, they only charged one police officer with what's called wanton endangerment, and it wasn't really anything to do with her death. It was, randomly shooting bullets, recklessly shooting bullets that could have harmed others in other apartments.
Right.
So, obviously, nobody.
Those 9mm shells don't stop at the wall.
No, they can go right.
They can go through a wall.
They can go through the wall. So there's a lot to that. Now, let me just say this: the no-knock warrant or raid, I agree with that. That you don't have that. No-knock warrant, because I don't like the idea that the government get some, and we've heard there's been cases, particularly weapons charges, where they've gone and raided some guy's house at 5 o'clock in the morning, and he had no idea who was coming in, and the guy winds up getting killed.
Here's and in Alabama, there's no such thing as a no knock warrant. You get a warrant, it's up to the officers to just determine how much notice they give.
Right,
but I mean, I can see in a situation where you're going after a drug house, that is a known drug house. You know it is. You finally have enough reasonable information,
and they're
to
very
get a
violent.
Warrant, and there's several people in there, all of which are armed.
Right.
I can kind of see, crashing the door, saying, "Police, move."
But the problem with that is you got to be right.
You got to be right, absolutely.
Because if you're wrong, it turns out very badly.
Now.
So I'm there, but here's the point. What the crazy thing about all this is?
What's that?
It was not a no-knock raid. No. And I did not know that until the Attorney General of Kentucky, who was pretty impressive, got up there and said, here's the results of the investigation, and here's all the things. And this reminds me of Ferguson, the lie. We have been told for 6 months.
Yes.
That there was a no-knock raid, that in the middle of the night, these people were peacefully sleeping in their beds, and the police just busted down the door and sprayed the bed with bullets.
Right.
That's basically the story that we've been heard, and we're all like, wow, that's awful, awful. Now, let me make sure I don't say Breonna Taylor was an innocent bystander, and she shouldn't have been killed, and that's very, very tragic she was killed, because apparently she was a pretty good person. She was EMT and did a lot of stuff like that. But what really galls me is you've got everybody riled up thinking for 6 months that they just busted down the door and shot these people.
Right.
When in fact what happened was they announced their presence, said this police who got a search warrant, and they were knocking on the door, and the boyfriend grabbed a gun and shot through the door and shot a policeman. So guess what? They returned fire.
Okay, yeah. Now, let's back up, because the former boyfriend, the drug dealer had been having packages sent to the house and had been observed leaving the house with a package, which now is said they contain clothes and shoes. I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know what was being sent there. I don't know what he carried out. But that was a former boyfriend who really did not live there, but listed his address by deliveries as being there. The current boyfriend,
yeah,
is a concealed carry permit holder. So he did not have a record. He did not have felonies. He
right.
wouldn't have been able to legally purchase a gun or get a concealed carry permit if he had.
Right.
So, you know,
no,
there's still a lot of things.
There's a lot of things. I mean,
I try and put myself in that situation. If somebody crashes through my door, you know, and I'm laying in bed.
Yeah.
How
do you know
my
it
weapon is?
Is
next to my,
yeah.
my bed, and I'm not going to ask questions. I'm going to start shooting if they've crashed in my door.
Right. Because you're a law-abiding citizen, so you expect the police are going to send you a notice.
Well,
or they're going to knock on the door and say, hey, we're here, and you're like, what are you doing here?
Even if they announce themselves as police, if somebody is doing a home invasion, what's to stop them from saying, police, open up, kick the door in?
Right.
They can announce themselves.
They can announce themselves.
I mean, I don't know.
Too.
I mean, there's a lot of
gray area.
Yeah.
Look,
this
is tragic. You know, there's no way you can make up for this, but really, it's an accident.
Yeah.
It's an accident.
Unfortunate accident.
They had probable cause, or they thought. Apparently, there was something false about it. I mean, there was packages, but now, what was it? Clothes? Was it drugs? It was the drug dealer they were after. You know, her former boy, it was the bottom line. It was an accident. And that's why the city of Louisville paid a $12 million settlement to the family to say, look,
we screwed up.
We screwed up. This was an accident, which is the same thing if a garbage truck runs over you.
Yeah,
right.
You're right.
The city garbage truck runs over you. The garbage truck didn't mean to run over you. It was an accident. They're going to pay financially. It appears they've done the investigation, and beyond what they charge as one guy, there is no criminality to it. So, but what really grates me is that we've had people thinking that, oh, the police just kicking the doors down and shooting people in their beds, when apparently that is not the story at all. There's a whole lot more to it. So when they announce it, what's the first thing they do? Apparently this is organized.
Oh, sure it
Did
is.
Did you see the video of the U-Haul?
Yeah.
They announced it, and there was a U-Haul parked on the street, and they threw up the back door, and they had all this. They
all
had not just
weapons.
Weapons and posters and banners, but weapons.
Yes.
And projectiles.
Yes.
And stuff to start fires. They were ready. And they've arrested that woman, and supposedly, I'm waiting to hear, I saw one news item said she was connected to a Soros-funded organization, the woman who rented the U-Haul and I guess put it there, or at least she rented it. They got her name. All you did was stage everybody, get everybody riled up, and then instead of saying, hey, we have more questions, we went immediately to rioting, and then they shot two police officers.
Right, right.
Who were just trying to let the people protest,
I think,
turned violent immediately.
I do think that they controlled it better than, say, if it had been Portland or Seattle.
Oh, yeah, no, Portland
like
would let them burn everything down.
Yeah.
So you got to wait for these investigations. So why I say it's like Ferguson, because still to this day, if you ask people about Ferguson, they'll say, hands up, don't shoot, which is a total lie.
Yeah.
The guy never said that. Michael Brown, I think was his name.
Mm-hmm.
Big old guy had just robbed a convenience store, walking down the middle of the street, and the police officer said, you got to get out of the street, and the guy charged the police officer. He didn't say, hands up, don't shoot. They were struggling. And he shot him.
Yeah.
Okay? It was a lie. But what did you do with that lie? You got Ferguson burned down.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do with the lie about what happened with Breonna Taylor? You're getting Louisville burned down. Stop the lies. Where's the media? That's why you listen to Common Sense Radio, so we can filter through this stuff and get it to you. All right. Well, man, I can't believe we're already out of time. I got 2 more hours worth of stuff, but it'll have to wait till next week. Honey, it's time to come home.